First Amendment sounds absolute. Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of the press. But ask reporters Judith Miller and Matthew Cooper, and they'll tell you that the First Amendment isn't as broad as it sounds. Courts can send reporters to jail if the reporters won't reveal their confidential sources. Just a few days ago, a full federal appeals court refused to hear the Miller-Cooper appeal, and as I write this, the two could very well head off to jail if the United States Supreme Court rejects their case in a similar fashion, all because they don't want to tell a special prosecutor the name of the person or persons who leaked the identity of a CIA officer. They don't want to name their deep throat. Now, you might wonder how this is all about First Amendment press freedoms. The argument goes that reporters need sources to tell them what goes on in government beyond what's said on the record. If potential sources know that the reporters won't be able to keep any promise of confidentiality, they won't go to reporters with their behind-the-scenes stories of corruption. And we'll all suffer in the end because the press won't learn about and won't publish the stuff that really matters. Now, sure, in this particular situation, the reporters wish to protect sources who leaked a name in retaliation for a negative opinion piece. And to protect someone for revealing a secret meant to cause extreme harm doesn't have the same heartwarming ring to it as would protection for a whistleblower. But the impact on press freedoms is the same. Imagine, if you will, a special prosecutor putting a couple of Washington Post reporters in jail until they coughed up the name of their special source. Imagine the chilling effect not only on that particular series of Watergate articles, but on any future sources and on any reporter who would talk with them. You're the source? You'll lose your job if the reporter squawks. You're the reporter? You'll lose your freedom if you won't reveal the name. You're the public? You'll never learn about oh so many things. That scenario, conjured up by Slate, gives ample reason to reject the argument that the need to fight crime always beats the need to gather news. A whodunit crime investigation just isn't good enough reason to chill the press. And make no mistake, it's the published article that has the greatest impact, gets the public to take notice, and gets the authorities to take action. A call to Crime Stoppers by a reporter in the know simply wouldn't have the same effect. But the Supreme Court doesn't agree with that analysis. Even in the silliest of cases, one involving an investigative report on young people who sold hashish in Kentucky, prosecutors wanted the names of those shadowy figures interviewed about and pictured with the hashish, by golly. The newspaper reporter refused, and the Supreme Court agreed that he should go to jail for his insolence. Since then, a majority of states have enacted shield laws meant to protect, to an extent, reporters who refuse to reveal their sources. In Illinois, for example, only when all other available sources of information have been exhausted and the disclosure is essential to the protection of the public interest involved can a court force a reporter to reveal sources or go to jail. It's a qualified privilege, and the balance then can tip toward the government or toward the reporter, depending on the facts. Some courts find the same privilege implicit in the Supreme Court case or in their own state constitutions. But as the federal courts have analyzed it so far, none of that applies to Miller or Cooper, who at this point will be forced to jail because of a hashish case from the 1970s, First Amendment or not. I'm Amy Guida.